Haiti, the earthquake has just happened, you run into somebody, and they find out who you are, what you do, that you're a minister of the gospel, and you seek to minister to people, and they look at you and they say, wow, this Haiti thing, how could your God allow that?
Well, I think the first way that we respond to something like that should be with humility and not to presume to know the answer. Certainly, Isaiah 55 says, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so far are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. God's individual purposes for situations that happen in our lives, it would be presumptuous to say, I know exactly why God did this and what his purpose was. I think Pat Robertson has gotten into trouble with that, as many other people have. The problem is not, does God sometimes bring judgment on individuals and nations? Clearly he does. That's revealed in Scripture. You've got Israel, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, many other countries where God brings judgment, and individuals where God brings judgment. But the thing is, that's been revealed to us in his inspired word. That's how we know he did. The problem is when we start speculating as to the reasons. And so that's
one of the... You mean this 500-page book is not going to answer the question definitively?
No, not in terms of each specific issue, but, certainly in terms of the principles, that God is a God who is sovereign, that he knows everything, that he is all-powerful. Could he have prevented what happened in Haiti? Absolutely. And there are some Christians, strangely, who will say things, there's just the tectonic plates, and those things are beyond, God just lets those things go, and he's not involved in that. And yet in Scripture, repeatedly, you see God as connected, even with the natural processes of the world, a God who sends rain and who brings the sunshine, a God who, sends lightning. The book of Job marvels and wonders at all these things that God does, even with snow and ice and, weather patterns and all these kinds of things. But speaking of the book of Job, here are a group of people, his friends, three guys who come, and they're at their best for the first week when they come to commiserate with him, because it says they were absolutely silent.
Right.
Then they got into trouble when they opened up their mouths.
They started to assume things.
Exactly. And what were they trying to explain? And how does this relate to Haiti? Well, it relates very much, because what they were trying to do was to explain why terrible things had happened to Job. Well, that's exactly what some people are trying to do with Haiti. Let's explain why terrible things let's give specific justifications for what has happened in Haiti. They made a pact with the devil, generations ago, and this happened, and this happened. We go, well, wait, what about all those people who didn't make a pact with the devil?
Right.
What about all the devout Christians, wonderful people, and even unbelievers who did not make some pact with the devil, and who, are suffering terribly? And so Job should forever silence us, the impulse to say, when it has not been revealed to us, this is why God did it. It was to bring judgment on people for the bad things they had done. Because that's exactly what Job's friends concluded. They looked at him and they said, well, Job, all these terrible things have happened to you. Obviously, there is some sin that God is punishing you for. And yet God, in that very book, unbeknownst to them or to Job, but revealed to us, has actually told Satan that Job is blameless. He's the most righteous man on the earth. And so we see it in the life of Job, the life of Joseph, the life of Jesus, and maybe other people whose names start with J. But here are the most righteous people that you see. Obviously, Jesus, the Son of God, sinless, and yet he suffers more than anyone. Joseph, more righteous than all his brothers, but suffers way more than all of his brothers. Job, most righteous man on the earth, suffers more than anyone else suffers. So, and then we have the other side of that, which is in the Psalms. Why do the wicked prosper? So if we are to judge Haiti as a nation and say, well, that's because of Haiti's sin, that's why this happened there, Well, then I guess we would have to turn around and say that, you know, Bill Gates and Hollywood movie stars and professional athletes are the apple of God's eye. I mean, because they're the most righteous people, because after all, they're prospering more than anyone. And so I think one of the things we should really do is avoid making categorical statements, presumptuous statements that assume that we know why God does it in a specific place or allows it in a specific place at a specific time.
And wasn't there a place called Calvary where there was a price that was paid for my sins, which were just as evil in the eyes of God as any sin of any Haitian?
Absolutely.
That could be committed, and Jesus died his death as much for them as he did for me.
Absolutely. And we should look to our own selves too, because when we think in terms of a nation deserving judgment, well, if you just simply take the issue of the slaughter of unborn children, in addition to the exportation of immorality, pornography, you know, lewdness and lustful types of things all over the world, you know, there's a lot for which every nation can be judged. Now, again, God can do whatever he wants to do. The problem is when we definitively say, or I think even suggest, oh, this is why God is doing it. Now, if it's Sodom and Gomorrah, and God reveals this is why he did it to Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, let's affirm that. But at the same time, let's go back and say to the basic question, why does God permit these things? Well, we live in a world that is under a curse. The fall has taken place. Humanity and the world that we are to govern and rule over, that God gave us dominion over, is not what it once was and not what it one day will be. We live in that very difficult time between Eden and the new earth. And living under curse and fall, the natural world has experienced a disorientation. Would this kind of earthquake happen if sin had never come into the world? No, because sin came in Adam and Eve, and death came through their sin.
I remember, again, back to 9/11, just as thinking about another catastrophic day in history, when the question was asked, why would this happen? Why would God allow this to happen? Well, we are living in a world that is experiencing the ravages of sin.
Absolutely.
And the conditions that allowed evil people to do something and cause suffering, and we'll get into the difference between evil and suffering here in a minute, because I know you address it in the book. That condition existed because of the fall of man, just as the conditions for a catastrophic earthquake or Katrina or a tornado in Wichita, Kansas or whatever would occur because of the ravages of sin.
Right. And so we have to be careful not to make those specific connections as Pat Robertson and others have done, because remember what Jesus said about the man born blind. You know, it wasn't that he sinned or that his father sinned, but that God would be glorified in this man's life. The disciples assumed there was a simple reason. Well, who sinned? It's either this man or his father, obviously, because he was born blind. I mean, a bad thing happens, you have to ascribe it to a judgment of God. Same thing in Luke, where you've got the Tower of Siloam that fell, and Jesus said it had killed 18 people, and you had the people who were offering the sacrifices, and Pilate mingled their blood, slaughtered them at the altar. Why did it happen to them? And Jesus says, were they worse sinners than anyone else? No. In the point he's making when he says, repent, lest you too shall perish, the point is we're all going to die. And let's be prepared for the day we die. Let's be prepared to meet God. So what we need to do is help the dear people of Haiti extend the love of Christ. There are Christian groups who are leading the way in that. And let's just reserve the talking and the judgment ends of things and just say, let's just help these dear people in the name of Jesus.